You think doing the right thing ought to be easy? It ought to be easy, shouldn't it? It never is, but it ought to be. We think it. We can identify the right thing. I mean, it ought to stand out like a lighthouse on a rocky coast on a clear night, just blasting everyone, convincing us with its logic. We should know. We should understand what's going on and shouldn't have any problem at all. It ought to be easy to do. In fact, it ought to be enjoyable. Because it is the right thing, it ought to be enjoyable. And we wouldn't have any opposition, would we? Everybody knows what the right thing is, right? And so nobody would disagree with us. But somewhere along the line, things aren't quite that easy. We can't agree on what the next move is going to be. We can all agree on what the right thing is, but then we don't know where to go from there. And so the river stops flowing. Or we get bogged down in the details, the jot and tittle, the commas and the colons and the semicolons, and whether that's a dangling participle or not. And we get so wrapped up in the minutiae of the whole thing, we end up doing nothing. And the tide starts flowing. Or, if we really are working at this thing, we have so many opportunities. I mean, there's so many things that are the right thing. Which white thing are you talking about? I want this one, you want that one, we want another one. There's two or three or four or who knows how many. And all of them demand our time and effort, and we end up doing none of them. And the river of righteousness flows into a marsh, and it spreads out, and it dies. How active is our flow of righteousness and justice? How constant is that flow? Do we seek after justice, fairness, fair treatment for every human being, no matter who they are, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight? Do we care about what is right in this world, what is just? Do we do what needs to be done to help somebody who is in trouble, no matter what the situation may be? Do we care about righteousness, not just being morally upright? That's fine. But do we believe in justice for all people everywhere? Or is it too much work? Too hard to do, takes too much time, too much energy, and there's not enough results. You know, you do these things and do them, and nothing seems to ever really change. And besides, what difference does it matter if justice isn't done just this once? After all, you know, the bottom line is you have to make a living. You can't feed your family on principle. So what happens if we don't do justice, don't do righteousness this time? Well, I think we end up being like Huckleberry Finn. He said in his book, Mark Twain said in his book, "Since it's difficult to know what is right and what is wrong, I have decided not to bother with them anymore, but to do just whatever comes handiest at the time." When we do what comes handiest, when we do what we want to do just for the heck of it, it leads to a breakdown of society, a breakdown of the justice system. There is no justice. Courts are overburdened with case after case after case, minutia of little things, people suing, everybody suing everybody for anything. And we end up with a court case that we cannot get any results from. And justice delayed is justice denied. Or it becomes financially burdened. They have no money. They can't build courtrooms fast enough. They can't hire judges fast enough, and they don't end up with nothing, and they cannot begin to do the work that they're supposed to do. And that leads to the courtroom being unfair. There is several different kinds of justice in this world. There's rich man justice and there's poor man justice. There's white justice and black justice. There's tall justice and short justice. And there is justice for those who are wealthy and those who are well known. People who get their own special kind of trial just because of how well-known they are or how big the publicity is for the trial itself. Now, people seem to be willing to do what is right as long as it's right in their own eyes for them. Back in the time of the judges, there was great immorality, sodomy, murder, rape, revenge killings, back and forth between the tribes. And the scriptures say, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own eyes. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. Rather than doing what is right, we end up doing what is convenient. The Pharisees and the Pharisee and the scribe walked by the injured man on the other side of the road. That was what was convenient. The Samaritan picked him up and put him on his donkey and took him to the inn and paid for his medication. That was what was right. The farmer goes out in the morning and the mid-morning and the at noon and late noon and late in the afternoon. And he hires people to work in his farm, and at the end of the day he pays them all the same. Convenient would be to pay them what they were worth, what they did, how many hours they worked, pay them by the hour. But he chose to pay them by their grace, by their love, by his love, and by what God wanted him to, what God really wanted him to do. Grace, convenience is doing what is convenient at the moment for ourselves. We also do things that's expedient. Caiaphas said to his high council, "Is it not expedient for one man that one man should die?" Expediency is doing what is convenient for me, doing what feels good, what is ordered in my life, what makes a difference in my life and touches me. Expediency is going along with the crowd. There's a Allied Bank commercial. This guy is trying to get money out of another bank. And he put his card in and he goes through the motions, and it finally comes to a question. There's going to be a $3 charge for doing this. Do you want us to go ahead and do it? And he hesitates. Does he want to spend the extra $3 just to get the money out of the bank? And the people behind him in line are saying, go ahead, do it. That's the way it is. And a guy riding on the bicycle goes by and says, banks are all alike. That's the way you have to do it. Go along with it. And he's still sort of on the fence about whether or not he wants to spend this extra $3 when his girlfriend or wife steps into the picture and says, get the money. If you don't get the money quick, we're going to miss the movie and then I'm going to kill you. Expedient is going along with the crowd. Not expedient is whistleblowing and shaking up the status quo and things like that. The other thing we do because it's profitable. TV channels, TV shows don't care if a show is educational or immoral or even mind-numbingly stupid. All they care about is how many eyeballs they have watching that show. Because eyeballs are people, and people is ratings, and ratings is money, and money is what it's really all about. So they don't care whether it's good or not. All they care about is whether it's profitable or not. We make up for our failures to do what is right with self-righteousness, proud of our little victories, while ignoring the mounting problems of the world all around us. We deal with our failures with solemn assemblies. We gather together to say the right words and to congratulate each other and hope that God is listening and other people are listening to how wonderful and holy and great we are and how much we want. But God doesn't care for our works or our words or our solemn assemblies. Did you hear the scripture? Not going to listen to your harps anymore. I'm not interested in that kind of solemn assembly. What I'm interested in is how you're treating other people. Is it with contempt, with bigotry, with anger, or is it with righteousness and justice? Many years ago, I heard a story about a church. One of their members got caught. He was going to jail. He was tried and convicted and sentenced to prison for a morals charge. They were going to excommunicate him. They're going to throw him out. They didn't want anything to do with this guy. I mean, he was guilty. Everybody knew it. And so they were going to get rid of him. But instead, after some prayer, they decided that he was one of them and that he was part of that church and that forgiveness was real. And so that season, the time that he was in prison, one member of the administrative board each week would go and visit him. And when he was released, they were all there standing at the gate waiting for him to come out. And together they went back to the church and celebrated communion and had a meal together. They didn't turn their backs on him, but they treated him as one of them, their own. Many years ago, when I was still able to do this kind of thing, I was hiking on the Appalachian Trail. In South Appalachians, the North Georgia mountains. And we came one day to one of the stops that we were going to make, and it was called the Chattahoochee Spring. There was this little tiny spring coming out of the side of the mountain, bubbling up and flowing into a little bit of a river. And down the hill from that was a couple more bubbles, and they added to the river. And eventually that little trickle of water becomes the mighty Chattahoochee River that is several hundred yards wide when it passes through Atlanta. But while I was standing there, I took my number 11 hiking boot and stepped on the river. I stopped the Chattahoochee River with my foot. Not really. Because the river flows. The river cannot be stopped. In the book of Amos, God says to us through Amos that the river has to flow, righteousness and justice flow has to flow like a river, rolling inevitably on, flowing without a stop. In order to do that, we have to have God to show us the way, to point the direction that we need to go, to point out what is the right thing. And to do that, we have to hear what God has to say to us. We need to listen to what God is saying, not what we want to hear. We need to hear from God and listen to God, not the television, not the newspaper, and certainly not politicians. And we need to do it no matter what the cost may be. And it can get enormously expensive. John Kennedy wrote a book in his years called Profiles in Courage. I'm sure many of you have read the book. It talks about politicians who do the right thing no matter what the cost may be. And I remember the one about a senator who decides to vote against the impeachment of Andrew Johnson. He knew that there was no grounds for impeachment, that it was just a political ploy. And so he went against his party, even though they told him that they would work against him and defeat him in the next election. But he knew what was the right thing, and he did it anyway. And in the next election, he lost. He lost his job, but he did what was right in the light of eternity. Not just for right now, but for all time. Because there is a greater reward that is waiting for us. Paul, in the letter to the Thessalonians, tells them that their faith is not in vain, that Christ will come again and receive all those who die in the Lord. We know that there is a reward waiting for us that is greater than anything this world can possibly give us. If we look beyond today and now and the pain of this moment and see the promise that God has for us, the assurance of our salvation, and the promise that He will be with us in whatever decision we make. Can we do it? Yeah, I think we can. I think we have strength to roll like a river. I think we have the courage to be able to see the inevitable conclusion and the grace of Jesus Christ to reach out and do what needs to be done so that justice can flow like a river and righteousness like a never-ending stream. Amen.